Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I don't know where you are in the country, so good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Today we called this to announce several upcoming changes for the IFL going into the summer, and some of it's pretty interesting stuff, and also to talk in general about IFL and where we're going and what your questions may be, and hopefully we can answer a lot of them. The first thing coming up, which is a very tangible change, is after several months of consultation and considering and design changes, we are going to change our fighting surface. As you all know, we fight in a ring. We do not fight in a cage. Many of you know my own feelings about the cage. But the reason for that I like the ring logistically is that it gives us a much better view of the action, not only for television, but also for the fans in attendance. It's a much better experience for them to be able to see clearly what's going on. So what we're doing going forward is, along with our partner, Throwdown, we're announcing that beginning this summer, IFL events will be held in a six-sided ring to be called the Hex, with a capital H. The ring will continue to provide the fans and the media with all the benefits of seeing the fights in the ring while giving the athletes more surface area to fight on, more strategic surface closer to all the other MMA groups. Now, because of that surface change, following our May 16th show at Mohegan Sun, we're going to take a little brief hiatus of a few months. We're going to unveil the Hex at an August 15th show at the Izod Center in New Jersey. The reasons for the hiatus are several, multiple. First, we want to give our athletes and our coaches the ability to get used to training in the ring. Second, we were looking at potential June dates, but given the already crowded MMA schedule in June, we didn't think there was a date that was working well on television and for our live venues. So July is usually a quiet month. It's a good time for us to do some rebuilding and some house cleaning. And therefore, we chose to delay until August and come back with the new ring and some other operational changes for the Meadowlands. In the interim, we're actively exploring joint opportunities with other fight organizations to get our fighters some more experience, show how good the IFL fighters really are. We are going to continue to explore co-promotion opportunities with other fight promoters. excuse me. Right now we have some guys on the adrenaline card, the upcoming adrenaline card in Chicago in June, and that is an example of how we are very willing to work with other companies. And also something I've been saying for a while now, the need for promotional companies to work together, to share fighters, to co-promote, for a healthier and more consistent MMA talent base. Now, go back to the Hex for a minute. We've looked at the idea of the Hex since late last year, and we wanted to take our time to find the right design, to get the right buy-in from state commissions that have to approve it, of course, our TV partners, HDNet and
Your hand is raised. Please ask your question when prompted. Press the pound sign to lower your hand.
Move to the Hex is a very good statement. So we're pretty happy about that. As far as the August event goes, we'll be announcing the card sometime in June after we see the results of our upcoming Meadowlands card. Upcoming Mohegan Sun card. We want to put the best possible card we can together for the Hex debut, and we'll have some of the best matchups possible, as well as a few other surprises for that event. Our matchmakers, our fight operations team is led by Boss Rutan, who you all know or are familiar with, certainly. And we're actively looking into the best fights we can possibly have for our return to New Jersey. I think it's going to be a pretty compelling show with a loud statement being made by us. Following the Meadowlands show, we're looking at a potential date in the early fall. That would probably be a return to the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood, Florida. The New York area, just like the New York area, we realize that South Florida is a very strong market. And we think that that event will be a chance to showcase the Hex and some of our Latino-based and Brazilian fighters as well. With regard to television, both HDNet and FSN are very pleased with our relationships. We certainly are. And we look forward to continuing along with them, as well as looking for additional opportunities, both here domestically in the States, as well as abroad. We've recently added Spain and Italy, and some of the Baltic countries, to our international distributors and carriers. We are now seeing, IFL programming is now seen in over 80 countries worldwide on a weekly basis, and we're adding more virtually every week. Our international business is extremely strong, extremely well organized, may in fact be the strongest international distribution in MMA. Now we get to the part that reporters and media MMA participants have been asking lately and raising questions with us, and that's the rumors that are undeniably out there about the impending demise of IFL. So we'll cut right to the chase on that one, and those of you who know me know that I've got no problem telling you the truth, whether it's good for us or bad for us. First, we want to make it clear that we've made significant changes to the IFL business structure, how this business is run. And as we've reported, we continue to cut losses. We have cut our losses significantly, and we move toward a business plan for the future, which we think we have a lot of confidence in. In recent weeks, we continue to receive support from our original investors, as well as those in the business community who think our structure now makes a lot more sense, and in the long term, will be a viable cash positive business. However, as our financials clearly state, we have cash reserves and are looking for ways to present a positive, cash positive way, a healthy business way to continue to operate either on our own or with additional partners in the MMA and media world. We are a public company. Our cash situation, our business structure situation, it's readily available for anybody who wants to read it on the internet. As a cash business, public corporation, we certainly have some difficulties that private companies don't have. But on the upside, we're an open book. We're absolutely transparent, and anyone can look into it. We're looking at a number of possibilities about how to get to the next step. And for those who are looking to get into the MMA business, and it seems every day there's a new group cropping up, we're making it clear that we have a solid, solid infrastructure, maybe one of the best in the business. But that infrastructure is here, it's in place. We think that is a very valuable asset as we look around for strategic partners. I have often been asked the question lately, is the IFL for sale? Well, the answer to that is everything is for sale. Microsoft is for sale. Verizon is for sale. The fellow who has a little coffee wagon down in front of our building every day is for sale. Everything is for sale for the right terms and the right price. Are we actively looking for a partner or a sale? The answer is yes. We entertain phone calls and questions almost on a daily basis from potential investors, potential buyers, people who want to get in the MMA business, people who are already in the MMA business. And this harkens back to something I've been saying consistently, is that I do believe the MMA world is a fractured world, and the way to make it a healthier, stronger, and mainstream sport and industry is through consolidation and roll-up. There are just too many little groups out there fighting over the same meatless bone. In the last 3 to 6 months, I would say about 10 MMA companies have either folded, changed hands, closed down for reorganization, or completely gone out of business. Now, that is a very high casualty rate, especially with all of the noise about how popular MMA is and how it's crossing all demographics and everybody has to see MMA, how it's killing boxing, how it's just, you know, exploding. To have 10 companies fold, reorg, or go out of business in a half a year period is a major statement. Now, we're not quite sure what that statement is yet, and hopefully we'll come to some conclusions and emerge with a good way to go forward. I think that's about it for me. We got a great story. We have solid assets. We have, as I said, a tremendous infrastructure, tremendous international television. We remain the most widely distributed MMA product in the United States through our FSN and HDNet deals. And the fact that we have our next few events all lined up tells a big story. You know, we're not going anywhere. We also have some of the hottest young talent coming up. I think Sports Illustrated on their website, an MMA site of SI's, named the top 10 ranked or most promising MMA fighters. Of those top 10, 4 of them are Ryotel fighters. So I'm very confident in our product. I'm very confident in the quality of our fights. And I guess I'll turn this over to you guys now, and we'll toss some questions to me and to Bob.
Great. We are ready at this point for our first question. Others who are interested, we ask you to press star 1 on your phone, and that will get you in. And just please say whether you're directing the call to Boss or to Jay. And here is our first question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Jaime Martinez from the No Holds Barred radio show on Sirius 122. How are you doing?
Quite well. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. I wanted to direct this first question to Jay Larkin, and I wanted to ask what the timetable is as far as the fighters getting accustomed to the new Hex.
That's actually a better question for Boss, if you don't mind me tossing it to him, because he's certainly much closer to what it takes than I am.
I don't mind at all. Boss?
Okay. Well, the coaches, all the coaches know that there's going to be a Hex. Everybody's going to receive a Hex from the International Fight League so that all the fighters can train in it and they can adapt their strategies. Because obviously, the only thing I was been complaining before, many people always talked about what a difference was between Pride and the UFC. And they say the Pride fighters in the UFC didn't do so good. Well, what could be the reason? And I said, it has corners. A ring has corners. You can lock up your opponent in a corner and there you can brawl it out. And with that in mind, you know, we thought, wait a minute, if we're going to make a ring with no corners, then we got a little bit best of both worlds. So they have to adapt to the strategy, and of course we're going to give them a Hex so they can train in it.
Great. And Jerry, I wanted to ask you, how concerned are you that all these changes that are being made, to Jay Larkin rather, how concerned are you that all these changes being made might give the perception that these are like the last opportunities for the IFL to make it?
I'm not concerned, and it's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it. I mean, thank you. I'm not concerned because no matter what we do, those questions are going to be there. If we just continued business as usual, those questions will still be raised. What we're doing here is we're trying to move forward. When the company was founded, it was founded in an entirely different MMA environment. There was virtually no competition out there. Now there are dozens of groups springing up. So the decisions that were made 2 years ago, or more than 2 years ago, certainly before I got here, were made in that light. Were made in, as trying to create something that was as far away from UFC as could be, so it could have its own identity. Now, we acknowledged and recognized early on that the original team concept really wasn't working. It wasn't getting any traction, so we changed that. Now, the process, certainly part of any process of success, is moving forward. Is not looking backward and not saying, well, what, not worried what anybody's going to think about us, certainly, and move forward. And most importantly is not to perpetuate a mistake. And if we see things that we think are being done well and are working well, then we will embrace those and continue to do that. If we see things that can be done better, we're going to try to tweak it. And if we see things that aren't working at all, we're going to dump them out and replace it with something else. So what we're doing is completely proactive, and it's trying to move the company forward. There will always be naysayers. Can't help that. If we listened to everybody out there, we wouldn't get anything done.
Okay, and one final question. You mentioned co-promoting with Monty Cox, and Are there any other promoters that you're speaking with right now that you could let us in on?
Well, we speak to almost everyone on a regular basis. We speak to Strikeforce, of course. We speak to Monty. We speak to Elite, and much like the boxing world, where I spent so much time, you've got to co-promote, or your talent supply is going to wither. Also, by being protective of only featuring fighters that your company has promotional rights to going forward, you're diluting the value of that fighter's championship. If Yankees only played Yankees and Red Sox only played fellow Red Sox, you wouldn't have a championship team. So you've got to co-promote. You've got to have so-called their fighters versus so-called our fighters. In order to make this work, we have to be able to identify champions and learn from the mistakes of the boxing world, where there are currently three heavyweight champions, and most people couldn't name one of them. I would say the situation in MMA is even worse, where most people couldn't name any MMA champion. But if there were unified champions, if champions fought champions, I think we'd have a much more comprehensive fan base.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. And we're ready at this time for our next caller.
Thanks. Hey, Jay and Boss, this is Eddie Goldman of No Holds Barred. How are you guys doing today?
Well, Eddie, how are you doing, kid?
Very good. Boss, long time no speak to you.
Yeah, like a whole day, right?
I think less than a day, actually. Jay, let me ask you about this thing of champions, because while boxing has all these different sanctioning bodies, boxing often has, or sometimes has, the different promoters get together and they'll have the best or among the best fight the best on a regular basis, virtually every week somewhere around the world. And even on lower level cards, you see that. It doesn't exist in mixed martial arts. And part of the reason is the business model of the Fertittas and Zuffa, and we know all that. But why have the other promoters not gotten together and said, look, we want to have the best, we want to crown a unified champion, whether they're from this group or that group or whatever? Why haven't they done that at this point, when it's so obvious that that's what could really change this industry?
Well, that's the point I was making earlier, Eddie. I certainly agree 100%. That's really a question for the other promoters. We're indicating and saying very clearly, without hesitation, we want to work with other promoters. We want to co-promote. We will happily loan our fighters out if they're available to fight. I got a call recently from Gary Shaw at Elite wanting to borrow Jay Heron for a card. And we had no problem doing that, except that Jay has a fight coming up, so the schedule didn't work out. But that's the way to do it, and it's interesting that the call to co-promote came from somebody in the boxing world who understands what you just said. That is the if there is a future to MMA, and that future goes beyond UFC, then there has to be co-promotion. Fighters have to fight fighters from competing promotional camps, and everyone's got to work together to have unified champions. Otherwise, this is doomed to peter out.
Do you see the need for an official body that will hopefully not be as ridiculous as the boxing sanctioning bodies, but somebody that can crown unified champions, so that there's not, every company might have its own champion, but there's a recognized unified champion?
If that could be, it would be a wonderful thing. I've yet to see an example of that happening without individual self-interests getting in the way. If there was a not-for-profit organization, therefore theoretically an organization that couldn't be bought, but we speak in theories, that could do that, and all of the MMA groups participated. That's the key. All the groups participated. So if IFL did it, and Elite did it, and Strikeforce did it, and Adrenaline did it, that will be fine. But if UFC is not there, it's empty. It's meaningless. Then you're creating, you know, two separate groups who should meet each other but probably never will. So I guess the answer to your question is it would be a wonderful thing to happen. I just don't see how it can happen.
Well, we know UFC isn't going to do it, so how do you see, what steps do you see are going to have to take place, at least in the next few years, when it's obvious they have no intention of doing it?
I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. I can't crystal ball that. I can only control what's in our control and send out that message, and hopefully through you and others who are like-minded, send out that message to all of the other MMA organizations that we do work together in ways to build a bigger, better, stronger organization.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I think that if we, all the other companies, and even if it's not included with the UFC, if all the other companies start to co-promote and then we're going to create champions out of that, then it's going to be a lot of different companies. They're all united as one. They got their champions. The UFC got their champions. And then the fans want to see their fights. And I think once the fans want to see their fights, things are going to happen. So I think it would be good, at least as the rest, if the UFC is not going to join, which they're probably not going to do, well, then everybody else got to co-promote. And then those champions, hopefully in the future, they're going to face the UFC champions.
Hopefully we'll have it. Thank you.
And what the fans are going to want to have, right?
And to Boss's point, we've got, you know, a card coming up in a couple of weeks, with a card coming up in August where we're actively talking to other promoters who are putting their fighters on our card.
Good.
Now, we're not doing that because we need other fighters. We've got plenty of fighters. We're doing that to expand the industry, to unify in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, you've got, you know, this giant elephant of the UFC out there, and, you know, all these little cocker spaniels running around barking at it.
Well, no holds barred, and any Goldman supports that and has always supported that since I started in this business. So good luck, and I'll help you do it.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie. All right, we're ready now for our next caller.
Please ask your question now.
Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ariel Helwani from MMArated.com. I had two quick questions for Jay. First off, being a follower of the world of professional wrestling, I was wondering if you guys contacted TNA Wrestling, who they use also a six-sided ring, to see how, you know, their athletes like it or not.
We have not, but it's certainly worth looking into to get a little more data behind it, and I appreciate the suggestion. Thanks, Ariel.
All right, no problem. The other question was, you mentioned that you guys are still happy with your relationship with Fox as well as HDNet. I was curious if you could comment on Ed Gorin, the president of Fox Sports, recently said that his network is not desperate enough to put the UFC on television when asked the question. Obviously, maybe forgetting that, you know, your organization is airing on Fox Sports Net. I wanted to know what you thought of his comment, and if you thought it was a little strange that he would say something like that, considering you guys are on Fox Sports Net.
First of all, Ed's a good man. Ed is a terrific sports executive. He's a terrific sports producer, and so I'm sure that what he was saying in that role, in that light. Now, you just answered your own question. I wasn't there, I didn't hear the context, but in reading about it, it appears to me he was responding to a question about the UFC, not MMA. And certainly, you know, that's a better question for Ed or a better question for Dana White, but I think what he was saying was that they don't need the money that badly to have to do a deal with UFC. Now, that could mean anything. That can mean the product. That can mean they don't like the product. That can mean they don't like doing business with UFC. That could mean the money was out of line. So that's an impossible question for me to answer without speculation. I know we have had significant talks with the Fox people. We remain. We were on two Fox outlets. We remain on one Fox outlet. So I don't think they have a real problem with MMA. I think Ed was being more specific.
Along the lines of network television covering MMA, when you first came onto the scene, a lot was made of your, you know, relationship with the HBOs of the world, and you said that you will try, once the UFC deal fell through, to sort of nudge your way in there. I know you guys are on HBO Latino. Has there been any progress in that regard?
I think what's going on is that the television industry never a group to, you know, to be risk takers, to be the first one out. I think they are waiting to see the reaction to the elite CBS show at the end of this month. If the show does well in the ratings and there is no, you know, tragic outcome and there is no huge public outcry, I think you'll see a much greater willingness by television broadcasters to commit and embrace the MMA world. If, however, the show does not do well, I think it'll set the industry back quite a bit with a reluctance of networks wanting to get involved. It's also interesting to note that the CBS deal was not done through CBS Sports. It was done through CBS Entertainment. It's also interesting to note that NBC, who is doing a time buy deal with Elite, I'm not sure, Strikeforce, has also done their deal through Entertainment Division and not Sports Division. And the Fox conversations, to my knowledge, with UFC were being done through Entertainment as well. So it's curious why the networks that are talking about it are talking about it through their entertainment divisions and not their sports division.
Okay. One final quick question. You said, you know, obviously the new ring is coming. You guys have changed the camps, the format of, you know, the way you present fights. Should we be expecting any more new changes between now and August?
Absolutely. There are more things coming, and allow me to play the showman here and let the anticipation build a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thanks. All right. We are ready now.